Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the first meeting of the Senate Education Committee here in the second session of the 34th Legislature. It is 3:32 p.m. here on Monday, January 26. We are in the Belts Committee Room here in the beautiful, snowy winter capital of the Alaska state, Juneau. I want to remind folks who are here in the room if they could please mute their cell phones. Copies of today's presentation are available on BASIS, and additional copies are there by the door if folks are so inclined to follow along. Members present today is Senator Keel, Senator Bjorkman, myself, Senator Tobin, Vice Chair, Senate President Gary Stevens will be absent today, and Senator Yunt is on his way. Please let the record reflect we do have a quorum to conduct business. I want to thank Susan and Kyla from the Juneau LAO for moderating today's meeting, and Mary Gwen, as always, for joining us from Senate Records to document today's conversation. On the agenda today is a presentation by researchers from HEDCO Institute at the University of Oregon, detailing their research on the effectiveness of switching from a 5-day school week to a 4-day school week. The HEDCO Institute works to inform in decision-making for K-12 education leaders through research and evidence-based recommendations. This topic has come to our attention as school boards across Alaska are searching to find cost-saving measures as they face significant and substantial budget shortfalls. My own school district in Anchorage is considering moving to a 4-day school week. Joining us on Microsoft Teams are Elizabeth Day and Sean Grant. Ms. Day is an assistant research professor at HEDCO Institute, and Mr. Grant is the assistant director of research at the same institution. Welcome to the Senate Education Committee. If you could please identify yourselves for the record, and at your discretion, please begin your presentation.
Great. Thank you so much for having us. We're really excited to be here today. I am Sean Grant. I'm an associate research professor at the HEDCO Institute and our assistant director of research. Elizabeth, if your voice isn't totally gone, did you want to introduce yourself?
Sure. Hi, everyone. My name's Elizabeth Day. I'm a research assistant professor and director of outreach for the Institute, and I'm so sorry my voice left me this morning.
Thanks, Elizabeth. So I'm presenting our joint work, but I'll try and do her justice with the great work she's done on this topic. So we're speaking today on findings from our team's research on the 4-day school week, which, as you probably know, is an approach school leaders take to shorten the school week by 1 day, usually Friday, sometimes Mondays, and then add on time per day for the remaining 4 days of the school week to still meet minimum school time requirements for the school year. We welcome questions throughout, but given the variety of information we plan to share and how many factors obviously weigh into a decision, like student outcomes versus budget, it might be best to wait until the end. But again, we're flexible with whatever works best for you all. Next slide. So first, I wanted to give a very brief background on our institute to be fully transparent on where we're coming from. So our charge is to conduct systematic reviews of the research evidence, and that essentially means that we compile all of the existing published academic research on a topic like the 4-day school week, bring it into one place, look at trends, statistically analyze findings across all of those studies to give a summary of what the research evidence says. We do this alongside K-12 educators. When we studied the 4-day school week, Elizabeth did in-depth interviews with 4 superintendents who made the switch or were considering the switch from 5 days to 4 days. That's because we're really invested in knowing how research findings relate to perspectives of educational leaders themselves. We are funded by the HEDCO Foundation, which is based in California. Our funders are not involved in our research or any decision-making around our research at all. And most importantly, we are strictly nonpartisan. We work with policymakers by presenting findings from the entire body of research evidence on a particular topic so that policymakers can make informed decisions themselves. We do not advocate one way or another on policy decisions, just try to present a summary of all the research evidence on the policy or on the topic of interest. And with that, let's dive into the 4-day school week. Next slide, please. So first, we looked to see if there were any empirical research studies that focus specifically on Alaska, and unfortunately, there aren't. We know that relevance is really important for decision makers. So the next best thing that we could do is look for either topics that may be of particular interest to your committee, like Indigenous education or school finances, and studies that most closely resemble Alaska geographically. And so we'll have some focus on our student outcomes on rural school districts. Next slide. So in terms of the 4-day school week in tribal communities, unfortunately, there's also not much research on Indigenous education specifically. We literally, I think, identified every empirical research study that there is in the 4-day school week. We only found one study that did interviews with families and schools on an American Indian reservation. And what they looked into was the impact on physical activity and found that schedule changes due to the 4-day school week decreased the duration and frequency of recess, intensified homework and tests, so more academic pressure, and prevented many children from participating in after-school activities due to the longer school days. We know that this isn't an ideal match for understanding Indigenous education in Alaska. It might be very indirect evidence, but thought it would be helpful to share some unique insights on potential consequences of the extended school day that is often that calendar adjustment that accompanies dropping one day. Next slide. We are of the understanding, as is the case with a lot of policymakers in this space, that you're interested in the impact on school budgets. And of all the studies that have provided some cost information, there are about 3 or 4 that provide an estimate of the impact on the 4-day school week on school budgets, comparing the budget changes in 4-day school weeks to budgets in 5-day school weeks. And as you'll see in a second, we generally found small but potentially meaningful cost savings across studies with one important caveat. So the first study was using data across the U.S. from 1999 to 2017. They found that district budgets decreased about 1 to 2% on average with the 4-day school week adoption. And in that study, it was primarily driven by reduced support services expenditures due to decreased educational service provision. And the second study was only data in Oklahoma. That was from 2004 to 2017. Again, a decrease of about 2% on average for 4-day school weeks. And those decreases were concentrated in operations, transportation, and food services expenditures. The third study we found was in Colorado specifically from 2003 to 2022. They found decreased spending, and that was primarily driven by support services expenditures, specifically food services, and salary expenditures, specifically transportation salary expenditures. So some common themes here with transportation and services expenditures. They also noted a decrease in federal revenue in the years following the switch. That was due to decreases in federal per meal reimbursements for free or reduced price lunch students. So that went hand in hand with the reductions in food expenditures. There was one study that provided data on school budgets post-2021, that is after COVID lockdowns, and from our experience, that kind of recent and relevant data is of interest. That was a study in just Montana from 2006 to 2023. They actually found increased budgets after adjusting for inflation, but this study did not control for differences in 4-day school week and 5-day school week schools as well as the previous three studies did. So we provide it here given interest in post-COVID data, but compared to the other three studies, we can't confidently attribute those changes, and in this case, increases in cost due to the 4-day school week versus other potential factors that drove costs. Importantly, all the authors from these studies caution that states, districts, and schools consider whether potential negative consequences on student outcomes are worth the potential cost savings that you tend to find in the rigorous studies estimating the impact on school budgets. And so with that, we'd love to dig into some highlights of the research on the impact on student outcomes. Next slide, please. So overall, we found there was no evidence clearly of any large positive effects for student outcomes. And really, while findings varied a bit from there, you'll see that we found fairly consistent small but meaningful negative effects for most student outcomes. When we're talking about student outcomes, there are 5 domains that we really focused on, that the literature focuses on. Those are academic achievement, like test scores, academic attainment, like graduation, school attendance, including chronic absenteeism, criminal activity, particularly at the high school level, and disciplinary incidents on school grounds. Next slide, please. We first want to go through K through 8 schools, as we do see some variability depending on the school level. And again, we're focusing here on findings in rural schools, as we thought that might be most relevant for your context. We consistently found decreased achievement in both math and reading across studies looking at K through 8 students in rural schools. And those came from studies looking at the impact across multiple states, so the most representative data we have of the US. There was one study that, instead of looking at test scores, looked at the percentage of students who scored as proficient or advanced in standardized testing, and that was in Colorado. They interestingly found increases in the percentage of students in grade 5 math and grade 4 reading. And so I'm sure you're wondering, why did they find good outcomes and the other ones negative outcomes? And the primary hypothesis for that right now is that their data mostly comes from before the 2008 Great Recession. Their data set spans from 2000 to 2010. And before the recession, a lot of schools that were choosing the four-day school week were driven by a desire to increase attendance. They had issues with students, particularly at the high school level, meeting the fifth day with things like sports or work or home obligations, rather than schools post the Great Recession who have tended to do this for cost savings reasons. And that might be some indicator for schools who are able to put cost savings towards things that increase academic achievement. Hypothesis, but that's the leading one right now.
Mr. Grant, we have a question. Next from slide. Senator Keel.
Yes, through the chair, Senator Keel.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I appreciate it. So, Mr. Grant, I'm trying to understand the sort of the magnitude of these, and the top two charts are in SD units, and the bottom is in percentage yes. point change. I know what a percentage point change is. Can you explain an SD unit to me, please?
Yeah, sure. It's a great question. Thank you. So standard deviations are essentially a measure of the variation in scores that you might see. And a standard deviation of anywhere from 0.0 to 0.1 is rather small. That might translate into a percentage point or two. So a student who might be scoring 50th percentile in math or reading might go down to the 48th, 47th percentile. So not massive shifts, but potentially meaningful shifts, decreases in achievement in reading, especially at a time where I think folks are really focusing on not losing any traction in achievement and trying to find ways to increase achievement. Hopefully that's helpful.
So just to follow up, so would I be correct in understanding if 0.1 is a small difference to see 0.03 and 0.7 at the largest, as opposed to on the other side, on the percentage point side, 3.8 and 7.4, are we talking about statistically significant differences on the decreased achievement side, or are we talking about rounding errors? Oh, you're muted, sir.
We're going to take a brief at ease. Brief at ease. On the record here in Senate Education. Mr. Grant, can you hear us? We cannot hear you.
Take an at ease, I'll have him call in.
We'll take a brief at ease and we'll send you the call-in number so you can continue your presentation. Brief at ease. On the record here in Senate Education, it is Monday, January 26th. It's 3:49 p.m. And Mr. Grant, you were mid-sentence in answering a question. If you could please continue.
Sure. Can you hear me now?
We can.
Perfect. Thank you all so much. My apologies for that. So if I remember the question correctly, it's, first, are we talking about statistically significant differences? And to answer that question, yes, we are. So the research here is feeling confident that these are not due to chance, that these are real differences, but they're small effects. So it would be equivalent to an average student who is scoring in the 50th percentile in academic achievement to go down to about the 48th percentile. A small change, but still potentially meaningful.
Thank you. Please continue with the remainder of the presentation.
Great, thank you. So if we can go to the slide on rural high school, please. So for rural high school students, we have data from Oregon and Colorado only. And here we see some better academic results than we do for K through 8 students. We see increased math scores, small, but perhaps no change in English and language arts. We see increased graduation rates, and we see decreased dropout rates. But there were also some studies that found some potential negative consequences for rural students at the high school level. We identified increased absences and chronic absence. We found decreased on-time progression to the next grade and increased criminal activity amongst juveniles in the area surrounding the school. And in particular, we saw increases on the new first night of the weekend. So if Friday was the fifth day that students now had off, there was increased crime on Thursday night. Why the increase in absences? There are two competing hypotheses to this. One is that they're real. There's a real difference because missing one day on a four-day school week is missing 25% of the week. You're missing 25 or a quarter of your instruction. Whereas on a five-week school week, you're only missing 20% or a fifth of your instruction. And so that can add up over time. It could also be a measurement issue. It may be an artifact of schools not counting excused school activities, like a football game, as absences in five-day school weeks. So students may be attending school the same amount, and it's not just showing up in the data based on the way it's collected.
Mr. Grant, I do have a question. One of the dynamics of my own academic journey is that my senior year of school, I participated in work study on the fifth day of the week. And so I'm curious about this increased criminal activity component. I'm assuming that the research did not necessarily capture or maybe didn't necessarily have the information, but I hope it does. Were those students simply not attending school on the fifth day, or did they have activity, sports, other responsibilities that still were managed by an adult or observed by an adult, or that they had to check into or participate in?
Yes, thank you, Senator Tobin. That's a great question. The study that we're referring to there did not, unfortunately, account for what the students were doing on the fifth day. So we don't have direct evidence from that study. We do from the general literature and from interviewing experts in the area that folks who are doing the primary research on this topic, do believe that these types of consequences can be mitigated by exactly the type of experience that you're talking about, is by offering things on that fifth day for the students. And so that would involve thinking across what opportunities are available for them at the home, what opportunities are available at the school, right? If the school is not so dependent on the cost savings from the fifth day, knowing that they are on average about 1 or 2%, they might be able to reinvest those back into things being offered on school, like remedial classes for important educational topics, for clubs, for sports. And then what is on offer in the community, and particularly at the high school level, there is talk about things like work study or employment opportunities in the area. So one thing that's really important to consider in deciding whether to enable schools and districts to move to the four-day school week is essentially what's on offer on that fifth day. And the more that you're able to have things on offer, developmentally tailored and appropriate, right, it's important to meet at a kindergarten level, which is not in the middle school, but in high school, that can mitigate some of these negative effects that have been found.
And Mr. Grant, I do apologize. I didn't ask this question on the previous slide, but it might have been more appropriate there. Did any of the research talk about food security? We have many schools in Alaska that are Title I schools and provide free or reduced lunch and breakfast. And was there any information gleaned from researchers about reduction of a school week to 4 days and how that might impact students' ability to get food?
Great question. It is a concern that is generally noted. I'm not aware of any research that is directly looking at or estimating the impact of the four-day school week on food security. The discussion in the literature on the topic, particularly after the COVID lockdowns, has encouraged schools to try and continue any sort of flexible food provision arrangements that they had in place during school lockdown, and it's possible to invest any cost savings one might have to think about not just academic opportunities on that fifth day, but health and social opportunities like provision of food, particularly for students who are very reliant on the school environment to get healthy meals every day.
And Mr. Grant, we have a question from Senator Keel.
Thanks, Madam Chair. Mr. Grant, your concept of how one invests potential savings triggered a thought. Districts in Alaska that are looking this at this, by and large, aren't looking at it out of hope for increased achievement or just generalized cost savings. They're desperately trying not to raise their class sizes or close schools. Do you have a sense, do either of you have a sense, of how the magnitude of these educational attainment problems compare to the educational attainment drop from, say, an extra raising the pupil-teacher ratio by 3 kids or 5 kids?
Senator Keel, through the chair, thank you. That's an excellent question. I don't have that kind of translation off the top of my head. That's something that we certainly can do directly after this and get to you. My understanding from the literature, as I can recall, is that the effect sizes from increased ratio, so having a larger class size, are larger than these effect sizes that we're seeing for the four-day school week. So that is something to consider, that perhaps if it's a trade-off between one less school day a week and having a larger class size, that the trade-off might be worth it. It is worth noting that we don't know within the studies that we're looking at for the four-day school week whether they, in fact, were in that same context. So there is some assumption that is being made there. But I think that that's an important thing to consider, and we're happy to provide you with the effect sizes, how big of an impact there is on academic achievement and research, specifically looking at changes in the class size to research that is specifically looking at the impact of the four-day school week.
Food for thought. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Grant. If you could follow up with our office, and we will get any additional follow-up and information disseminated to members. My last question, particularly on...
Very happy to do that.
Thank you, and we do appreciate it. The last question that I have pertaining to rural high schools and to high school students, I see here that you have increased graduation rates, but I do not see a correlating or another line that talks about any change in career readiness or college-bound students. Is any of the research address students' completion of their SAT or SAT, their admittance into university or colleges, their participation in ASVAB or any career and technical education opportunities? Do you see any change or additional information about that?
Senator Tobin, thank you. Excellent question. We don't know of any research that has looked into that. We feel fairly confident that we've identified all of it, so I'm not sure that there's a single study that has looked rigorously at the impact of the four-day school week on college readiness, college attendance, including standardized test scores, career readiness, technical skills. They focus fairly consistently on academic achievement on standardized test scores, on attendance, on chronic absenteeism, progression to the next grade, and graduation from high school. Beyond that, gaps in the evidence.
Thank you. Seeing no additional questions, if you could please continue.
Yeah, great. If we're on the slide that says deep consideration, you'll see that you were all lucid and can predict what we were going to say on the next slide. So our main takeaway from all of these studies that have looked at the impact of the four-day school week on student outcomes and try to understand why we're seeing negative effects when we do and positive effects when we do on different outcomes, there are really two main considerations that we think are within the control of state districts and schools to look into. The first is learning time. So we like to say loss of learning time risks a loss of learning. There's fairly strong evidence that shows that schools and districts that try and achieve just the minimum requirement of school time in a year see the worst outcomes. And the schools and districts that are able to maintain the same or similar amount of instructional time that they did on the five-day school week tend to see little to no negative outcomes from the change. So maintaining that same amount of learning time is fairly crucial to protecting academic achievement and other academic outcomes. So how does that schedule switch impact overall instructional time? How much longer are you extending the school day? Are you extending the school year to make sure that you're maintaining the same number of hours a year, not just shooting for the minimum target? And then within that, we've also seen some evidence that the amount of time on the four-day school week matters. So there's some evidence to suggest that immediate negative impact on academic achievement scores hold steady, if not increasing, compound over time among schools that stay on the four-day school week, whereas schools that transition back to the five-day school week after a few years tend to go back to their baseline levels of achievement. So amount of time without maintaining the same learning time can really compound those negative outcomes. And then secondly, a lot of what we've been discussing about maintaining activities that foster healthy youth development on the fifth day is crucial for minimizing other negative impacts. So what's available at the school on that fifth day, what's available in the community, what's available at home for students on that fifth day. So they're not left to their own devices. We're thinking holistically across home, school, and community environments. And we're thinking about various activities that are developmentally tailored to various ages from K through 12. Next slide. Just wanted to highlight for you
Mr. Grant,
all that our full report.
Excuse me, Mr. Grant, we have a question from Senator Bjorkman.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Please, send it.
Mr. Grant, one thing I've noticed about schools across our state as well as schools across the country is that the amount of time per day that a student would spend at school from the first bell to the last bell varies significantly. Some schools in Alaska here might have just over 6 hours of their school day, while others would have close to 7.5 hours elapsed between the first bell and the second bell in a five-day school week. Have any of your studies or literature review contemplated the change and difference in that amount of time from a five-day school week to a four-day, considering those differences in length of school day?
Thank you, Senator. Through the chair, another excellent question. I'm not aware of any studies that have directly answered that, but based off the studies that have looked at the influence of instructional hours on academic achievement generally, and then on these switches to the four-day school week specifically, I feel fairly confident saying that all else being equal, schools that have more instructional time to begin with, whether they're five-day school week or four-day school week, are associated with better academic achievement outcomes. And then schools that make the transition from the five-day school week to the four-day school week and maintain the same number of instructional hours over the course of the academic year are the ones that don't seem to have the negative outcomes on academic achievement. And this is why, first and foremost, folks who work on this topic in the academic area really emphasize the amount of instructional time being maintained for schools and districts that are considering four-day school.
Very well. Thank you.
Thank you. Please proceed.
We just wanted to flag that our report on student outcomes is freely available on our website. Please download and share. We'd love to hear your thoughts on that. We also have a real-time interactive database of studies on the four-day school week, and we update that regularly. We last updated that through all research published through 2025, so it is up to date as of a month ago. So if there are any topics you wanted to dive into deeper, any geographical areas, school levels, we have various filters you can use to try and see if there's research that is directly relevant to your context and to your problem of interest. And that was what we would use to follow up with any questions that we've had today that we wanted to get back to you on, like the question about school class size. But feel free yourself or your staff to use that as a resource. It's free to use as well. With that, the last slide just has our email, and we cannot thank you enough for reaching out to us and giving us the opportunity to present our work and hopefully help out all of our kiddos out there. So happy to take any further questions you have today.
Well, thank you. Thank you, Mr. Grant. Any additional or final questions for Ms. Day or Mr. Grant? Seeing none, I do just want to note that there is a two-pager available on BASIS, again, from the HEDCO, HEDCO Institute, that provides some additional review of the systemic analysis they did of the 12 highest quality studies on a four-day school week. It is a very well laid out document that is easy to synthesize, and I encourage folks to go onto BASIS, akledge.gov, and download this two-page summary. You will also be able to download the full report as it is linked on the summary page. Seeing as there is no other business before the Senate Education Committee, this concludes our agenda for today. I want to again thank Ms. Day and Mr. Grant for joining us and for sharing their insights and their research. And I do know that folks will probably be reaching out, if not only to follow up on some of the questions, but also to continue to explore some of these dynamics around how do we best support students, but also continue to keep our finger on the fiscal dynamics that our state faces when it comes to funding public education. The upcoming schedule for the Senate Education Committee is that on Wednesday, we will hold the first bill hearing for Senate Bill 204, sponsored by Senator Mike Cronk. This bill is in regards to substitute teaching and the qualifications for school board members. I want to again thank everyone for joining us. As there is no other business before the Senate Education Committee, I will adjourn us here at 4:07 p.m.